Welcome to ID the Future. This is Sarah Chaffee. Is cancer evolution an intelligent design killer? That's what Dr. S. Joshua Swamidas suggests in a post at biologos.org. Swamidas admits cancer evolution doesn't prove neo-Darwinism, but he says it does cast doubt on the intelligent design arguments against evolution that are based in molecular biology. I have with us today Biologic Institute scientist Dr. Anne Gager to discuss the new paper and Joshua's argument. Welcome, Anne.
Hi, glad to be here.
Before we jump into the paper, I would like you to give our listeners a quick refresher on what exactly cancer cells are.
Before I start about cancer, let me tell you a little bit about normal cells. Normal cells stay in their place. They grow as much as they need to, and then they stop dividing until it's necessary to grow again. They have restrictions and balances and checks to keep them from doing things they shouldn't do. Now, in the case of cancer, what happens is that those controls are broken, and the cells start to grow out of control, and eventually they escape their tissue and migrate and then invade other tissues. There are many, many different kinds of cancer. There are hundreds of different kinds of cells in our bodies, so there are many different ways cancer can occur. So cancer is actually a term used to define many, many different diseases, since there's so many different cell types that can become cancerous. What treatment works on a particular kind of cancer depends on what kinds of mutations have taken place. And that's the reason why doctors are excited about finding ways to identify what mutations are key in a particular person's cancer. And that's the research that Dr. Swamidas has been doing, is to find ways to identify the key mutations, the key driver mutations that cause a person's cancer so that they can design a therapy specifically for them. So it's an important field of research, but I disagree with his conclusions.
But Dr. Swamidas says cancer not only kills organisms. In his post, he says that the way it evolves deals a nasty blow to the theory of intelligent design. Let me just read the part where he boils down his argument into his four main points. 1. If evolutionary genetic tools correctly infer the progress and history of cancer. 2. Cancer regularly innovates with proteins of novel function. 3. Regularly exhibits convergence at a molecular level. And 4. All the mathematical machinery of neutral theory works so well. Then what magically prevents all these things from being true at the species level? This all cannot be true for cancer, but false for evolution. That is the real inconvenience here. And he means inconvenient for intelligent design, of course. But now let's slow down and take these one at a time. So first, what does he mean when he says evolutionary genetic tools rightly infer cancer's progress and history? Is he right? And if he is right, did he just give ID a black eye?
Well, he is right. Evolutionary genetic tools do infer cancer's progress and history. Cancer is a process of mutation and natural selection. The cells start out normal and mutations occur that allow them to grow faster. They take over their surrounding cells. They outcompete. And then more mutations happen and a few of them may allow the cells to grow even faster and to spread. That's what we call metastasis. And it's a Darwinian process where cells that can grow the fastest are the most competitive. In a certain sense, you could say it's like survival of the fittest, except in this case, cancer cells are fit in the sense that they can grow faster, but they're not fit for the individual with the disease. Okay, but you asked if this gives ID a black eye. Well, no, it doesn't, because ID acknowledges that Darwinism works in just such a process. To give you an example, Michael Behe wrote about this sort of process in his book, Edge of Evolution, where he talked about drug resistance in malaria and how it evolves. People infected with malaria have lots and lots of malarial parasites in their blood, and it can happen that a few in the population are able to survive because they've evolved some way to escape the drug. Something in them broke that normally would be the target for the drug, but because it's broken, the drug can't work. And those parasites survive the drug. And those parasites go on to multiply, and in the presence of the drug, they take over the population. And pretty soon, that individual is carrying entirely drug-resistant parasites. The next mosquito that bites him or her takes those resistant parasites to other people. So in an analogous process, cancer cells mutate and take over a population of the normal cells. Drug-resistant parasites can take over populations of non-resistant parasites. So what does he mean by evolutionary genetic tools? Well, in the field of population genetics, they've developed mathematical formulae that predict how much and how fast successful cells can spread. The math works for cancer.
Okay, but what about his second point? He says, quote, "Cancer regularly innervates with proteins of novel function." The way he puts it there, that sounds like a pretty big deal. I mean, hasn't the lab work you and Douglas Axe are doing at Biologic? Isn't that work supposed to show that the Darwinian process has a devil of a time creating proteins with novel function? But if cancer cells are doing it no problem, doesn't that mean game on for protein evolution generally?
But cancer cells aren't creating new proteins with novel functions. They're breaking existing ones, causing them to do something different, or preventing their normal function.
Okay, so then what gives with these cancer cells?
Well, cancer, those mutations that I talked about, they disrupt the function of a normal protein. And either they shut it off entirely, or they cause it to mess up the works of other proteins. So it's like throwing a monkey wrench into the works. It messes up the functioning of the cell, and some of those mutations that take place break things that are important for regulating the cell. And so if those things get broken, the cell grows out of control and you have cancer. Biologics work doesn't deal with that kind of mutation where it's a one-step process or maybe even two or three-step processes in order to get the effect. Biologic looked at how many mutations it would require in order for a new function to take place, and the limit seems to be 4 mutations or more for bacterial cells, and that would probably apply for cancer cells too. If you have to have 4 simultaneous mutations accruing in the same cell, nothing will happen because it takes too long to get those 4 mutations together.
So these breaking of cells, isn't that an example of microevolution? That's an evolutionary reality no one disputes. It's not an example of the macroevolution of new organs, new species, new families, new phyla, which is what Darwinism sets to show.
Yeah, that's right.
So one parallel I'm seeing, and maybe it's insignificant, is that once again we have evolutionists getting triumphant about evolution in which things are breaking to evolve. It's insignificant that both with drug-resistant malaria and with evolving cancer cells, we're dealing with mutations that break things. Is this a problem for neo-Darwinists who want to use these examples as proof of evolution generally?
Yeah, it's a problem. You generally don't get new things by breaking things. We know that from our own experience. Say you want to turn a dishwasher into a car wash. If you break the dishwasher by pulling off the sprayer, you haven't made it very far towards building a car wash. It'll take lots of mutations. If you want to make a fast car, taking the brakes off won't do you any good. That would be analogous to a cancer cell where there's a mutation that's taken place that removes the brakes on cell growth. Or if you put your foot on the accelerator and break the accelerator so that it's always on, that would do the same thing. The take-home message is that breaking things doesn't build things. We know that from human design. It's also true for biological processes.
On our next podcast, I would like to ask you about points 3 and 4 in the Swamidas post. Are those serious arguments?
No, they're not.
Scary arguments?
No.
Join us next time for more about whether cancer is an intelligent design killer. This has been Sarah Chaffee for ID the Future. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture.
ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.